When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Wagwan people, welcome back to another episode of Courtside Fracas. The boys are back, post-NBA Cup dreams. Got the banner up on Staples Center. Not sure about you boys, but we've got one. But I digress. The boys are back. It's your boy Killer K, aka Sauce Castillo, number one Lakers fan in town.
He's a Lakers fan again, is he?
I've been a Lakers fan. I've been a Lakers fan. I just don't like where we're going.
I can't lie, the Lakers look good.
Banners are banners. We're not going to get the real one at the end, but we got one right now.
Wait, this is a real banner though, but you fucking won. Banner. Yeah, but what's the complaint about?
We'll see in it. The inaugural champs, we'll say. But we'll get to that though. I'm here with the All-Star team.
Yes, indeed.
Come on.
Indeed. And I'm not talking about the team that's going to be at the O2 on July the 20th. I'm talking about the boys, Courtside Fracas. It's my boy Shaq. How's it going, bro?
I'm good still. It's been decent, you know. My GOAT's got more trophies.
I come on.
I can't complain with basketball right now.
I come on.
My team gets W's.
Oh.
I ain't complaining. Like, it's been a good season. This has actually probably been the best season of basketball for the past, like, regular season.
It's mad because this might be the first time all three of our teams are, like,
good
at the season.
Yeah.
Hey, what of the Atlanta Hawks?
Oh, yeah. Can I make an announcement?
Yeah.
So it's down to you two, right? So this is a great intro. Jordan has asked if it's okay for her to change team.
Now, boo!
Boo you, sir.
I don't mind it. As in, like, she liked Atlanta Hawks because when she was falling asleep, they were entertaining. So it was just entertaining. Like, Bogdanovich was her favorite player.
That's a hooper. Yeah.
So she's saying like she has some like a short like list of teams that she would move to if allowed. But yeah, it's down to you guys.
What are you saying? No official international appearances can change allegiance.
I might invite you to Minneapolis.
No. So I've set rules. Number one, because she tried to go Timberwolves. Impossible. No.
She looked at the top of the standards.
I wonder what we have here.
Then she tried to go to Milwaukee. I said, Dame, no chance. No one's allowed to support Dame in my house. So okay. Impossible.
Okay.
And I said, no Warriors, no Celtics, just because Miami Heat. Like,
you know what? No Warriors is fair. Yeah. But of course, let's not digress. The dulcet tones you can hear just there as well are the man Reams, the real Raster in town.
Bingy man settings.
Top of the Western Conference.
My team's got the best record in the NBA.
For now.
Talk.
Anthony Edwards, signature shoes are fire.
Talk to him.
Hey, they fire.
Hey,
they fire.
Can you say
things
that?
Are good right now? Things are they good fire. Right now.
I can appreciate a good shoe.
Okay,
I don't mind that. I might work for Nike.
It's with the ops, but
hey, good shoe. You think I didn't wear printers when I was growing up? Come on,
come on. But yeah, executive produced Jordan. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't invite you to the purple and gold anyway because it's a rocky road up and down. You'll be right back where you were next
year
anyway.
On shortlist.
I'll be real, Jordan. I've been supporting the Timberwolves a long time, and this is the first season.
I've been supporting the Lakers a long time. And
this is the first season I've not been suffering, so I don't know if you want to come over here.
In most of my adult life as well, we've not been good either. So, and again, we're the most hated, so you don't really want to be here anyway. So
I'll put it like this. We'll show you a shortlist after this pod. And then next week we'll see if she if
we
agree.
We should get we should get the crowd to we should get the listeners to decide.
Okay,
do a poll. Who should Jordan's team be?
Jordan's team be.
We'll put it out there. We'll give them like a four selections and like do a poll.
Yeah.
The fourth one is stay with Hawks. So,
the decision, Jordan.
Yeah, decision,
Jordan. But yeah, man, the hoops. Like you man was saying, I think this has been a quite enjoyable regular season so far. Like. I mean, I'm not enjoying the courts from the NBA Cup, so thank God those are gone. Mm. But
I know, people, I didn't mind them, you know.
Look, do you know what it was? Yeah, it was just a lot going on. It was hard to not hard to focus on the game, but when you're looking at the TV, you see a splash of color.
I get what you mean. Like in design, when you're trying to design something, you don't want it to be too distracting from what the main product is, which is the basketball.
And a lot of the time, sometimes if depending on the color of the court, if they're bringing the ball out of the floor, you can't even see it.
Yeah, so some of them were better than others, I'd say. Mm. Some of them were more aggressive, like on the eyes.
The Vegas joints, weren't a fan. But nah. Not a fan at all.
Nah, like, you know what it is? With the courts, it did distract a little bit, but I think people paid too much attention. However, what I liked about the in-season tournament, I guess we're going to speak about the in-season tournament first, is that I started watching the hoops a bit more because the games were so entertaining that I didn't care how ugly the court was. Aye. Sometimes, like, watching the old Atlanta Hawks with the honeycomb flooring or Charlotte Hornets with their next colorways that they have on the floor. I just don't want to watch this. It hurts my eyes. However, no matter how ugly them courts were, watching Halliburton, crazy. Watching, besides against the Lakers, the New Orleans Pelicans was a great viewing. Like, I enjoyed watching the in-season tournament and I think the stimmy of 500k actually made people want to play ball.
But no, they were getting paid regardless, bro. I think
it's more for like the two-way guys though.
Yeah.
Because they don't really make bread like that and their bread's not like guaranteed.
Giannis made the semis. They said they made 200k. He said he didn't even realise.
Swear down. Yeah, they probably haven't been paid yet. That's why.
Can you imagine not realising that 200k hits your account?
Oh yeah, I'm not sure it hit the account yet, but he didn't know that they were getting paid. He thought it was winners get paid and the rest of us go about our days as usual.
It's Vegas, isn't it? You go, the winners, usually only the winners get paid.
Yeah, it would. The only reserve I have about it is that it was in Vegas. So there's a lot of times when I was watching the games and like...
No crowd.
There was no crowd presence.
Fell out of the bubble.
Like, you know, like,
when I was watching a final, like when AD was like talking the shit into the crowd, I was like, where the fuck is the crowd, bro?
Exactly. Who are you talking to?
Who are you talking your shit to?
At the same time, where it was unfair was... You're playing the Lakers and you're playing LeBron. So the crowd was only cheering for them. The Indiana Pacers almost got booed at certain times.
Yeah, Lakers fans travel everywhere because they're rich, unfortunately. And they also mostly live in LA.
And even if you're not a Lakers fan, well, you're near LA because you're in Vegas.
Yeah.
On top of that,
it's just a common known team. Like, it's just the LeBron fan.
Yeah,
like,
you might just go to see the Lakers and you know them.
So yeah, because they're the star team. Like, that's the go-to team for the celebrities to go watch. So it's like...
See, I think they should talk about maybe like...
Home court advantage next year.
The home crowd's involved in a bit. But maybe just save it for the playoffs then. Maybe save the incentive for the playoffs.
So I did see someone tweet something about like... Maybe next year they should try to tweak it a little bit. Instead of doing it all in Vegas, do it like... Yeah, like maybe whoever had the best point differential, they get the home court advantage.
Some home court or certain advantage because that's where the atmosphere is like really bubbling.
Yeah.
So
I feel like, do you know what I like about it though? Yeah, I feel like there's more of an unpredictability about it because if you look at the two finalists, does anyone in the playoff setting think the Pacers or the Lakers are making it to the finals?
No.
Actually, but you know, the Pacers definitely not. But on the running, they beat Celtics and the Bucks. Like
the Bucks in that semi, that was a great game as well. They went up high, then it got a bit tight towards the end.
I just ask, like, for now, like, can we just put some respect on Tyrese Halliburton's name?
What? Have we not been doing that already?
We have, but not to the level that we need to be doing.
But
he's a superstar. He's a superstar.
So good.
That team don't play a lick of defense, but what? Yeah, it's a shootout.
Two games, 28 assists, zero turnovers.
The person that impressed me a lot in the
LeBron gave him like 3 turnovers in 10 minutes.
Yeah, he got crazy quick. I think as soon as they mentioned the stat, like, yeah, hey, Tyrese Halliburton doesn't turn over the ball.
Immediate turnover.
Snatch that shit, man. He's like, oh, okay, I got you.
Should I tell you why LeBron's a sick fuck, yeah? Because
I'm clipping that already.
Let me tell you why LeBron's a sadistic bastard. I'll tell you why, yeah. Because he knows these things. There's nothing he doesn't know. Yeah.
He knows everything about basketball.
So in his mind, he's thinking, yeah, like they've been flagging up this stat a lot. Watch what I do to it, but as soon as I
know how he plays, because you know that boy watches a lot of tape.
Yeah.
And he's got that weird thing that people haven't realized, that weird photographic memory.
Yeah.
When he just talks about is the most underrated thing
He knows the team's
every
play.
Single play that his team does, knows every other play, and knows what happened in the game already.
I can guarantee LeBron watched that Jose Alvarado interview where he said he's going to give the money to his kids. Why do you think you have it already? LeBron said, oh, it's go time now. I'm here
go
for
time.
This. And every inbound every time he was on the court and the inbound, LeBron checked his shoulders twice. That's how you know.
He's just mad scientist, bro. He was really, really watching the tapes. But let's talk about the two finalists. I'll start with Indiana, the runners up.
Mm-hmm.
I like them, innit? I like them. I think I saw a recent clip of Halliburton talking to the OG himself, Kevin Garnett, asking like, how did it feel for you trying to get like guys to come play with you? Obviously being in a small market. And he's like, bro, end of the day, it don't really matter about the market. They want to come play with you and how you play. Like they forget. And also with these small markets, their life is basketball or their life is their main sport. So
the small marketing might kind of be played out now.
Yeah, it's played out because again,
look at the superstars around the league. Gilgeous Alexander, small market.
And not just that.
Anthony Edwards.
Bro, and the thing with these so-called quote-unquote small markets,
Jokic.
Because in these towns and cities, the team is the main attraction. They show out all the time regardless. So you're going to be a god in their city anyway.
That's why people say like guys that want to move to LA and New York, they're trying to move there for the lifestyle more.
Lifestyle more than actual like playing. Because if you wanted to be like revered properly and just focus on hoop and go forward, then you'd be in a quote-unquote smaller market.
Besides, there is a place you can go where it's a big market.
Oh god. On the latest episode of Street Heat Evangelism,
there's a big market team that cares
I can't believe they renewed it for another season.
Unbelievable. It's now off Telemundo. It's now on Hulu.
It's on Tubi.
We're working on a HBO contract right now.
No.
You wish.
You ain't box office like that yet.
If this was 2005, you'd have been on Bravo.
You still got trouble, bro. You still got NPCs on your roster. You need to fix that first before you get on HBO.
Man would have been on Living.
Living TV.
QVC.
To your point that you said though, like we are a big market team.
Of course.
And we care too much about hoops. So much about hoops. So
I think the lifestyle of Miami is a bit mad. It's a lifestyle of
the last person you saw go Miami and have the lifestyle tour?
Do you know what I rate about Miami? Yeah?
That's why they'll bring the guys forward. That's why.
The identity of Miami as a team is so...
The juxtaposition between the identity of the team and the actual city is
actually nuts. Like, Miami's identity should be in like Memphis, Tennessee or something like that. Like a grit and grind.
And you know who fulfills the lifestyle of Miami the most probably? Probably Tyler Herro with all his tattoos and lifestyle. And... again, he's not playing the greatest, but hey.
He's injured.
Find me the rule book.
He's injured. You can't say he's not playing the greatest when he's not playing.
Yeah.
When I find the rule book, you let me know.
He was playing, I'm sure before he went down, he was playing well.
All right.
I think like 24 or something like that.
Yeah.
He's playing all right. No defense,
but
who's scoring?
24 these
days. Tyrese Halliburton is... Tyler Hero's got a little Mandela effect thing going on right now. Mm. Where like... he's one of the team's best players, but they seem to play better without him. Maybe. I mean...
It's because of the way that Miami want to play. Which is like you said, the grit and grind, physical basketball. If you name another player, like, as much as I don't like him that much, like Kyle Lowry will use his body in game.
Puts his body on the line.
He fits that identity.
Jimmy Butler.
He fits that identity. Bam fits that identity. Jimmy fits that identity. Even the guys like Jaime Hackers fits that identity.
Bro.
Heywood Highsmith fits that identity.
Even down to like Josh Richardson fits that identity.
Josh Richardson. Yeah, no, it makes sense.
If you look at the past players, Justice Winslow, all these are just athletic and they are like.
But let's not digress from the original point in hand, because again, we seem to be interrupted from the transmission. With the Street Heat evangelism.
Can I just say, for three games in a row, Tyrese Halliburton in-season tournament done double-doubles, three games in a row, one game a triple-double with zero turnovers.
So far this season, Tyrese Halliburton is averaging 26.3 points a game, 4.2 rebounds, and also 12.3 assists on 52% shooting currently from the field.
Mm-hmm. How many turnovers is it?
From the three-point line, he is shooting a grand total of currently 44. Wow, yeah. Crikey, that's a lot. It's a lot of numbers. He is currently at 41%, 86% from the line, and his turnover ratio is 2.5.
That's amazing, in my opinion.
It's 12.3 assists. That's ridiculous.
I'll take that turnover. Now, another person that I think was slept on, kind of like the AD effect of what we have in Lakers, but in a lot of games he was kind of key, was Miles Turner. I'll give him more respect than what I gave him prior.
Bro, Miles Turner is that guy's a wall on defense. He's just...
yeah, like their whole defensive scheme is pretty much...
It's just him. And again, between fitness and consistency, it just hasn't always gone his way. Then there was the trade talks. But now, I feel like they can... I'm not sure where they'll go. Like,
Lakers would have wished that they could have got him. And then on top of that, you got the Boston game. How many times did they do it? Halliburton, pick and roll. Just, it was a pick and fade, sorry. Miles Turner will shoot threes. And yeah, cool, they were clanked. I think the first three clanked in a row or something like that. But once it sinks,
one thing about
now you need to step up.
The Pacers, they play fast, they space the floor. Halliburton, like, he gets a lot of assists, but a lot of them are like
hockey little, just
they're little like gimme assists, like little, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the game
yeah.
now. But still a good
They've built a team that offensively at least that's perfect around their star player. You got guys that can run, athletic guys, Miles Turner, Ben Maverin, Buddy Hield.
And that's like you got they will all shoot the ball if they need
to. They all shoot, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
I think in
Bruce Brown as well?
Bruce Brown, yeah.
Speaking of Bruce Brown, he got punked by D'Angelo, but before we get there, that Indiana team, because of the way they play, I think it was the semi-final against the Bucks. They had Halliburton. It wasn't even because I don't think it was because of foul trouble at first, but they had him Halliburton on the bench for a while, and because I think they just trust the team with how they play and how quick they are.
But the thing with the Pacers as well, which I feel like I don't know if this is even right. I might just be chatting shit, but like the fact that they have TJ McConnell off the bench as well, that could
he came off the bench and hit 12 very quick.
That could just run an offense, like the simple.
Give the ball up, hustles a lot.
So when Tyrese is off the court, guys are still getting there. They're easy buckets for 48 minutes.
Yeah, you know,
it was similar to like remember that season when the Cavaliers had Darius Garland and Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys was getting layups for 48 minutes, bro. You know what I mean?
Good lifestyle.
I feared the TJ McConnell because obviously once the Heat weren't going through, Lakers are my next option because LeBron. But was it Grayson Allen that went to Duke?
Yeah,
yeah.
So
tripping everyone up.
There's the final game that they had, and they had the Jahlil Okafors, they had Justice Winslow, they had all these players, right? But then Grayson Allen was like the seventh man, maybe like eighth man off the bench. And even Coach K speaks about it a lot in a video that I've watched. And it's they're losing. The energy's flat, blah, blah. Grayson Allen basically comes on the court and then there's a loose ball. He like grinds for it, hustles for it, slaps it back into play, saves the play, so he slaps it off the defender and he stands up and he just shouts, "Let's go!" Whole energy changed. Duke smoked him. And TJ McConnell looked like he was about to do that to the Lakers. The turnover that he got, where he intercepted the inbound, got the throw back in, layup easy, it looked like he was changing the pace a lot. But I think they only started like inaugurating him around about late second quarter, early third quarter.
That's when he normally comes in and give like Tyrese that rest.
Like, he was cooking so much, the game was close at that time as well. My problem
he was changing the he changed the momentum.
And yeah, it was crazy. My problem with the Lakers was, in that game, when you're watching it, like AD was active. D'Angelo Russell was active in that game for the first two quarters.
Somehow, some way.
LeBron came through mainly around about the third quarter, right?
That's Austin Reeves.
AR-15.
Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell and AD were kind of dominating that game for the first half. But the score was like, the max difference was 7. All the way to halftime. And that's where it's scary. Like, just you was giving buckets and you was dominating, but you was also giving up easy buckets that were allowing them to score. And that's where in a playoff setting, some games won't go that way.
I don't think we're geared up for, it's not very sustainable. Like, these one-off games are perfect because you don't have to go on the road. You ain't got to win 4 or 5 in a row. It's just, again, the way the NBA Cup landed, it being in November, end of November / December, it was just perfect in terms of teams can kind of get their little run going. And yeah, it just worked for us at the time. And then, of course, one of game money on the line, who better than, if not Jordan, LeBron? Because that's who you put your money on. But
apparently the banner is going to be a bit different compared to like a ring banner, which I think is going to be kind of...
I know they handed out medals for it, so they're not getting rings.
Yeah, you don't get rings.
Okay.
Yeah, rightfully so.
And you get a hat. Like,
yeah, but I think, I just don't think we're set up for long-term success. So yeah, just touched on the Lakers real quick. D'Angelo Jordan gave Bruce Brown the business, says you ain't shit when you ain't got Jokic on your back. When you ain't on Jokic's back, which is fair enough.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he was telling him he said he was giving it to him. And I think Bruce Brown said he was giving it to him. And then D'Angelo got it back. And he was saying like, you ain't shit. Like, bro, like, who are you without Jokic? Like, what are you going to do now? He's dropping it in his face.
I think Bruce Brown said, I swept your ass.
I swept your ass last year. And he was like, well, what are you doing now?
Yeah, which I don't mind a little venom.
The big Serbian in there, like, what you want, bro?
But yeah, like, again, it was a good game. I've enjoyed the NBA season so far. Maybe you know what it is?
It's a nice early season boost, bro.
I'll give you an example as to why the NBA Cup's quite good, because D'Angelo Russell was great for about 3 games in a row, and then yesterday he was absolutely shocking.
Of course, we're 21 games into the season now. This was a nice early season boost.
Do you know, I respect it, because like in win or go home scenarios, like It's hard to beat LeBron James in a win or go home scenario. You
it's
know what
hard.
I mean?
This is it. Like in a 7-game series, you can get him now because he's 40.
Yeah.
Because his team's not maybe not going to pick up the slack. But in a one-off game, in the 20th game of the season.
Has LeBron ever lost a game 7?
Not that I know of.
I don't think he has. I think his stats in game 7s are nuts as well.
Yeah. Always like a triple-double or something like that.
Yeah,
or double,
so at least. Again, one-off game. And like I said, 20th game of the season. LeBron ain't even on his load management time yet. This is real early in the season.
He's played a lot.
And he's played a lot of minutes. So,
but although LeBron's fun, his friends aren't.
I told
you. I think the Lakers look good, you know.
The Lakers are fine. I'm talking about Draymond.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, before we get into Draymond, 25.3, 7.5, 6.7 assists, 55% from the field for the 40-year-old LeBron. Yeah.
He's crazy.
38 years old.
39.
I think he has averaged 10 to get the highest average ever for someone of his age in the league, but that was never going
to
happen.
I think they said that Luka would have to play 10 years and average 35 points per game for all 13. 10 years just to equal the Bond score.
It's 12.
It was like 12 or something like that.
12. And Giannis.
12 more years on top of the years he's already played.
So basically, yeah. Nick Wright was saying the numbers that LeBron has put up.
No one ain't beating that.
The numbers LeBron has put up in terms of minutes, so he's played 66,000. Giannis is going to have to play to at least 75 games a year until year 18 to get that himself. And then in terms of like points, because he's obviously almost hitting 40K, so for someone to come fresh into the league, they need to average from the jump
35.
Luka's not going to have longevity. Like Luka came into the league averaging 20 like LeBron did. KD's not going to do it.
Like it's never ever going to be done.
Longevity is crazy, man.
Who came into the league averaging 20 as a rookie?
Barely anyone.
Donovan Mitchell. Some guys
aren't in the league anymore, like Tyreek Evans.
I think Trey didn't average under 20.
I think Trey averaged like 19. Anthony Edwards averaged 19.
Yeah, like, but he was just basically saying like these
Zion averaged 20, but he played like 40 games. Yeah. Wasn't
these,
like that.
records aren't gonna be broken.
10 years in NBA.
Yeah, bro. Like he's not got long left in this league.
Yeah, he's gonna end up on MasterChef soon.
As a judge.
Yeah. Draymond, what, like we've spoken about Draymond ad nauseum on this fucking podcast, and I feel like we've made our, like, we called him a thug last time he did this. But last time they had a lot of excuses for bro.
I think thug's definition has changed, has it not?
They had a lot of excuses for bro. They said, oh, you shouldn't have put his hands on the teammate, oh, he was protecting Clay, why did Rudy touch Clay? Blah 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 blah. What is his excuse this time?
Bro. You know, for me, what I'd actually want to ask around this situation with Draymond, because this is his third ejection this season. It's been 23 games.
Truly humble under.
He's been ejected three times.
Name the podcast.
I got you. He's been ejected three times in 23 games, all for violent conduct.
What was the first again?
The Donovan Mitchell thing.
Mm-hmm.
What did he do again? I forget because he's
him, and, him, and, him, and, him, and, him and Donovan kind of got into it because they kind of got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then obviously he had the thing with Anthony Edwards, and the day after that, the thing with Rudy Gobert.
Oh, the Rudy Gobert thing was just.
And then he got the Rudy Gobert choke out.
He held his five game suspension and come back.
Is there a point now where you go with history, reputation, and then just repetitiveness?
I think the thing,
50 fam.
Like, people are talking about an all season suspension, but that's a bit extreme.
That's a bit extreme.
All season's crazy.
But I think the dumb thing with him is that
30 games,
I don't think he realizes he thinks he looks different than what he's doing on camera looks like.
No, but you know what it is? My difference is this. I look at Ja Morant getting 25 games here for something he'd put on Instagram.
Which isn't illegal.
And it was his friend's Instagram, but he's holding a gun. Like, I get it, role model, stuff like that.
It's not even illegal.
It's not even illegal.
This guy on the NBA court in one of the big market teams of the Golden State Warriors, where people are watching and one of the most viewed teams in the world.
He's out here punching teammates.
Just punched a man for no reason. I mean, a few weeks ago, he choked a man out. Last year, he punched a teammate on camera, which got leaked, fair enough. But he also stomped on a guy's chest during the playoffs. Yes. Like,
and they just say, oh, well, why is he holding onto his leg?
Playoffs 2 years before that, he's kicking man in the nuts.
He's a regular crotch kicker.
He kicked LeBron in the nuts.
He's like, a regular crotch kicker.
So do we not just say, you know what? You don't learn your lesson. My mum used to always say, who don't hear must feel.
Hey,
here's a little 30 games.
I think it needs to be something significant because you've held 5 games already. Bro, we're 20, like you said, 21, 23 games into the season, bro.
He's held 5 games, come back, played 2 games, and got suspended again.
Wait, oh, he's only played 2 games since?
There's no way it's only been 2 games.
I swear he's played like 2 or 3 games or something.
How long
like
was
that.
The suspension was 5 games?
It must have been like 2 or 3 games. It might have been more than that, but I don't know. But it's still. I'll put it this, how many seasons has Draymond been in the league for?
9.
Since 2000 and... Clay came in the league 2000. So I think it's 2012 he came in the league.
All right. Here's a good one. How many ejections has Draymond had since he's been drafted? No, don't Google it. Google it, guess it.
Probably like...
Beams, put your phone down. Put your phone.
I'm not Googling, I'm just like, Googling when he came into the league.
I want to say 30.
They're telling me he got drafted in the 2012, 2013.
Okay, how many ejections do you think he got?
He's already got 3 this season, boy.
Mm-hmm. I said he's on 30.
35?
19.
Okay.
It's not that extreme. Jesus Christ.
Relative, since he's been in the league, who's the closest in terms of ejections to that? I bet no one's close. I bet no one's got more than 10.
I don't think anyone's near 10. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm saying. And these are ejections in the regular season. I don't think it counts as playoff ones.
So don't count when he got suspended from the NBA finals.
I don't think he counts as those ones. I'm not too sure. But that's where I say he's crazy. I'll check it quickly, but a stupid amount of personal fouls.
What's the top 10?
And in technicals, I don't even want to get into.
He's probably broken Rashid Wallace's.
So do you not know? Hey,
Rashid Wallace went on a podcast.
He's quite high though. He's quite high because, yeah, Draymond Green is second all time.
Who's first?
To Rashid Wallace.
In terms of ejections?
Yeah.
What does Rashid have?
29.
Yeah. Hey, I'm sure Rashid Wallace like broke the technical record like 3 seasons in a row.
Yeah, so Draymond's on 19 now, and then Dwight Howard's on 17, which doesn't surprise.
That's surprising, Dwight that Howard. That doesn't surprise me.
Orlando times.
You know how his outside life goes.
That's not really ejections. Never mind. And then Anthony Mason. Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
What about Charles Oakley?
He's not there. He's tied with Charles. So Anthony Mason is with 16 is tied with Charles Barkley.
Makes sense.
And then Shaquille O'Neal has 14 and he's tied.
That's kind of surprising.
Double text.
Nah, he loves.
You get a double text. The guy pushed the guy after dunking him.
DeMarcus Cousins is DeMarcus Cousins and Shaq is tied on 14.
That DeMarcus Cousins makes
a lot of sense.
Matt Barnes 13.
He punched a guy, man.
Yeah, Kenyon Martin 12.
Yeah, these are all these guys.
Dennis Rodman is tied with 12.
Yeah, these guys are all kind of enforcer type of guys. 12. Reggie Miller used to talk his shit as well.
Talk a lot of shit.
Hey, them Morris twins need to be in there somewhere. They're thugs anyway.
Hey, need to be good.
But Rashid Wallace kind of said, because obviously you know Draymond's with Michigan and that, and obviously when it was like their era of Pistons, like the 2004 team that won the championship,
in the dressing room.
He was like obviously Draymond was good friends with the son of the GM innit.
Yeah.
So he was always in the dressing room. So Draymond was born in what, 88 or something like that.
Draymond is 30 what now?
So around 2004, he'd have been a teenager, innit?
Yeah.
In the dressing room, and Rashid was just like, he was just soaking up all the shit that he was talking with.
He was seeing it.
All the grimy shit, innit? Like, you know what I mean? So that's kind of like...
He's 33. So 1990.
Okay, so he would have been 14. So
that's crazy that he's around the dressing room like that, because I just thought he just got out of the mud and he was.
Yeah,
dead.
I saw the interview saying that he takes some accountability, but at the same time,
I wouldn't want to take no credit for that, to be honest. But
when you're 33, you can also say I'm a grown man and I'm not gonna punch my teammate in the face, or I'm not gonna when a guy's tugging my jersey turn around and punch him for no reason.
It would be nice to see him try that shit with someone that's a bit more like.
That's the other part of his business.
Yeah,
he's always picking on people.
I would have loved to see him try that shit with like Zach Randolph or someone like that.
Oh god! Do it to Jokic when his brother's on the sidelines.
Yeah, try that shit with like James Johnson or
James Johnson with MMA black.
James Johnson would karate chop the life out, man.
Yeah, like, so, and he's always just picking on either smaller people.
I'm trying to think. Like, obviously, he's done it. He done it to Steven Adams. He done it to Sabonis. He's done
even
it.
Adams
to
Adams is a gentle soul though.
Steven Adams will probably fold him as well though. But he's not a tough guy.
Slight kick in the nuts that looked like an accident.
Yeah, Steven Adams on a force, he's just freakishly strong.
Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Cousins.
I bet he wouldn't have tried that with DeMarcus Cousins.
It's impossible. The headband would be off.
Yeah, bro, like try it with one of the guys that are known for being a little bit.
So then what would you say his suspension should be?
Try Ron Artest.
Because he's getting suspended.
Okay, like, come on now. Not a crazy person.
That,
like,
that bro, Ron Artest. Well, next Gilbert Arenas, should we go get it back?
But right now in the league, bro, there's not really a lot of guys that's really trying to...
It's a family-friendly league, man.
In the league right now, one of the tough guys in the league is Dylan fucking Brooks, bro. Dylan Brooks is a villain in the league. So, like, this whole tough guy shit in the league has played out, bro.
He's
like,
done. He's actually very done. Which is why Draymond's running riot. But then he tried with Anthony Edwards and Draymond, he said...
I'm looking around all the teams. What other teams has an enforcer except for Golden State? Lakers don't have one. Who's the Lakers enforcer?
Not anymore. We even had JaVale, but that doesn't even count.
Nah.
JaVale's a nice guy.
Bucks don't have one. Who's the Bucks enforcer?
Nah.
Is Jay Crowder still there?
Yeah.
Does Jay Crowder even count as an enforcer? If Jay Crowder counts as an enforcer, I'm trying to tell you, bro. Who's the Celtics enforcer? They don't have one.
Al Horford.
His sister. Anna Horford.
Who's the Sixers enforcer?
To be fair, ain't no one messing with Embiid.
PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker plays for the Clippers.
Oh, sorry, even the Clippers. My bad, even changed.
And even PJ Tucker's like,
what? Batum.
He's too short.
Batum or something. Nah, man.
It's done. That image is done in the league. It's a very family friendly league, man. Which is why Draymond actually runs riot. I know.
Yeah, that's what Anthony Edwards told him, brother. Is that, bro, you're the only one around here trying to be tough, brother.
Like, no one cares.
Give like, it a know. Rest, brother.
Like, please. But yeah, I think a ban, a significant. You just got
10 to 15 games.
I like a nice 15 joint.
I'll slap him 25.
But I can't like. I have to be consistent because I feel like Ja Morant's suspension was excessive, and I've said that a lot. So I can't. Like,
and he's not even violent.
I can't like.
For me, you can be consistent, but I'm asking them to be consistent. So for me, holding a gun is 25 game suspension. For the guy that has had two real violent conducts on court in the big market.
And he's a regular
defender. The thing in football, yeah, in football, if you get a straight red,
it's 3 games.
If you get another straight red, it's 4 games. Oh, so
I thought it was double that. Even
they increase, they increase, they increase it. So in basketball, like, bro, like, he literally just come back from his last suspension, bro. So. And I think with Jar, right? Remember, he got reprimanded the first time for the strip club thing. So that's why his second ban was so excessive.
And what because, he did there was illegal.
Because Adam Silver fought, like, they gave him the first, punishment. They spoke it out and they fought that him and Jar had come to like an understanding where it's like, you have an image to protect. You're like one of the whaps. You know what I mean? And he's come out and done something like that again. So, that's kind of what led. It's like in the justice system. If you're a repeat offender,
yeah, they're gonna keep slapping
you. They're gonna slap you with more than if it's like your first time criminal. You know what I mean? So
I hear you, but it depends on the crime. Because if you're a repeat offender for robbery, and like the first one is 5 years, and then the next one can be a 10 years because you've done it again, you're a repeat offender. Cool. But if you do GBH, there is a bigger thing.
Yeah, of course.
Draymond Green is a repeat offender for GBH.
Yeah. 15 games, I'd say.
I would like 50. I like a nice 15
slap
game.
Him 20. It's not like the Warriors will miss him anyway, fam. I'll slap him 20, man.
15 games. And it affects the team negatively anyway. And I think that ultimately they'll ship him out of there.
Yeah, fair. He's. Boy, he will.
Yeah,
be.
I feel like the Warriors, it's time for the Warriors to blow it up.
They won't do it mid-season though, because Mike Dunleavy has been talking some stuff, but I don't know if he's really going to be doing much.
Would you blow up the season?
Yeah, it's they're cooked, man. Klay is cooked, Draymond's cooked, Wiggins is cooked.
Fair, that's kind of leading into our listeners' questions, because we've got a few like that as well.
Yeah, so this episode's going to be more based around the listeners' questions. We're going to dedicate a lot of time to these, so should we get into that now?
Yeah, we've got quite a few questions. So if you stay on road of what you just said, Reams, yeah, let's go with the first question being from a seasoned vet. Tommy Ajayi.
Tommy Ajayi. Oh, shout
Tommy Ajayi.
I know he was first in line.
So, if Steph gets this Golden State Warriors team to the playoffs, where will it rank in his achievements?
Maybe like ninth.
it's a lofty list of achievements, bro. I can't really like put it's this up true. There.
But he's won 4 championships. He was a unanimous MVP. He had a 50-40-90 season. Scoring title.
Finals MVP.
It's like 10th.
Eventually.
Getting a crap team to the play. Russell Westbrook got a terrible team to the 6th seed.
Yeah, like, everyone does that.
Every superstar player could get a crap team to the playoffs.
Like everyone.
Harden's done it too.
Damian Lillard done it.
Everyone's done it. And they could probably win one series.
Anthony Davis done it.
Come on, man! Like that's not a mad achievement. Flipping,
but I think it's does it add
Trae Young led a fucking team to the conference finals, bro. Like.
I think a big slamming like does it add to your brand? Basically, I don't really think it does.
Nah, bro. The Warriors making the playoffs as like a play-in team and then just getting smoked in the first round. I think that does more harm than good to Steph Curry's legacy.
Fair.
But missing the playoffs, that would have made him means he missed the playoffs twice in the last 4 years.
Okay. Right. Also 1-1 in between.
Because he missed it in 2021. Indeed. Then they won it in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Second round out in 2023.
Was it second round? Yeah, it was second round.
To the Lakers, then lost. I mean, but to be honest, right now, there's not really much Steph could do to add to his legacy over there, win more championships.
Yeah.
I think he's done everything there is to do.
Like Atlas said, sometimes you've got to hold that. And the Warriors, you're just going to have to hold that.
This gives me great joy.
The thing is, obviously, the Warriors front office, they want to maximize what they have left of Steph's prime, yeah? They need to stop being sentimental if they want to do that.
Yep.
Obviously, you have a core you won 4 championships with. That core is cooked. Start again. Steph is still cooking. Yeah. See what you can work with.
The 96 Bulls, which is probably still like one more in them, you lot are done.
Yeah, man.
The rest of them, man.
I can't lie. That's what LeBron kind of always was good at. He was always good at knowing when a core is cooked.
The GM. But we got another one from a seasoned vet, well, the resident Sheck Nigerian, but he's also changed his at the moment. Is Lacastina instead underscore Stina. I've got the answer for this question, if you let me take this one. But he says, are we ready to admit if Luka doesn't get to the finals this year, he can't be a championship number one option? Now, me, okay, I know everyone's face is all screwed up, but I'll answer this one, yeah. You boys know very well, I'm a big Luka hater. I appreciate the talent, he's very good. However, I can't co-sign this one because it's not in line with my agenda long term anyway. It's not sustainable because, again, Luka's a fantastic young player. We need to get away from the fact of instant gratification. He's been in the league. This is his fifth year or sixth year? Sixth year. I think if they don't do something, not significant, but again, out the first round, maybe second round, strong conference semis.
Is this roster stronger than the roster you got to the conference finals with?
No.
You don't think so?
No. And again, can you see that now?
You got a best star, like you got Kyrie with you.
So, let's examine this for a second. So, their starting unit for that conference finals run was Luka.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
No, I think Tim Hardaway was injured. So, it was Luka, Jalen Brunson.
Yep. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I believe it was Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yep.
Then I believe it was like Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber.
Yeah.
So now they have Luka, mm-hmm, Kyrie Irving, Grant Williams.
Seth, who's suspended, I believe.
Grant Williams. Who else? Who starts at the
Dante forefront? Exum's there. Tim Hardaway's there. Jaden Hardy, Rashawn Holmes, Derek Jones Jr.
Okay. And Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Then they have Tim Hardaway off the bench. They have Dante Exum off the bench. Jaden Hardy, Seth Curry.
The team's not better.
You don't think this team is better than that one?
I think for name value, yes, but I don't
for name value. But in terms of like execution so far, obviously not. But what I'm saying is, we've already seen Luka get to the conference finals anyway. So him not getting it to the finals now doesn't mean he's cooked. Like,
I mean, he's 24 years old.
Exactly,
as well.
He's 24 years old. Like, he's got plenty of time in this league. So my guy, Lacasse underscore Stina, please don't bandwagon my agenda just yet. Like, this won't mean he's cooked. Like, he can clearly be the number option. Look, it seems
for me, last week or 2 weeks ago, we asked the question of like, can we start putting the lights on Luka? And I think we can.
Of course,
that's perfectly fine.
Luka has been touted as an MVP candidate every year since like his third season.
Yep, the Luka.
So those lights are fair.
We have to judge him by them standards.
You can put the lights on. It don't mean that you turn off your sense of talent.
The guy's
phenomenal.
It don't mean you've got to put a scope on the burner. Just turn the room lights on, bro. Take it easy.
For me, the answer is no. But
ooh, interesting question for the guys. At max 90, which current star has the biggest gap between their best and worst performance level? Anthony Davis.
100%.
Anthony Davis.
Can't Anthony Towns? Do we count him as a star?
Yeah.
I think you can. Can Jaylen Brown count?
Ooh.
Yeah, sure. If Kat counts.
So, so top three, or the three we've named so far, Jaylen Brown, Anthony Davis, and Kat. I think Davis looks the worst, you know.
I don't know. I think it's Kat.
Really?
Yeah, it's Kat.
How so?
When Kat is having bad games, he doesn't look like a basketball player. AD's bad games are just like bad offensive games. Like,
they're very bad offensive.
Yeah, he's still defending. Like, you know what I mean? And like Kat's bad games is he's not making any shots. He's not taking no frees. He's got like four offensive fouls.
He looks like he was crying.
Moaning at the refs all game. Like, it's just not good. Like, you know what I mean?
His voice is real high as well.
I don't mind going for Kat for that, yeah.
And then Jaylen Brown is just, his left hand stops working sometimes, but that's whatever.
I feel like Jaylen Brown is less talented than AD and Kat.
I might have another one in there though.
Let's go.
I don't know if we can go for star, but he's a big Sabonis. When De'Aaron Fox first got injured, his performances were shocking.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him in the playoffs against Golden State. I wouldn't put Sabonis in. He's an all NBA player, so I guess you can, but like, when you're thinking of stars in this league, are you really thinking of fucking Sabonis?
Nah.
When I think of top five centers, I start thinking about him.
Cool. Yeah, fair. And by that measure, yeah.
The tree is branches are hanging.
Good up. Question though. Good question.
And then Uncle Anko, two parter. Who will the Bulls trade first?
Zach LaVine.
Yeah, UCLA's cooked still.
UCLA's cooked. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, UCLA's cooked. Yeah. The thing with Zach LaVine now is like,
he's not cooked per se.
He's got a big contract.
Massive.
Mm-hmm.
And the injury concerns, because he's an explosive player.
Mm-hmm.
The injury concerns are like, who is even going to take that risk?
And what are these injuries that are cooking him? Obviously,
it's his knees.
His knees still?
Yeah, it's his knees.
So his ACL. I know he did his ACL.
Obviously, he came back from his ACL, but his knees have just been bothering him.
And sometimes it's like soreness, out for three games. And then I think recently he had an illness as well.
I remember, when was the Bulls? Was the Bulls, was it last year or the year before that, where like he's come back from a knee injury in the playoffs and he just couldn't?
I don't think it was last year.
It was the year before, like two years ago.
But then again, one thing that I've liked from Zach LaVine's game, because beforehand it was all explosion, right? It was get to the rim.
He's really a shooter,
but he can now shoot. So he's added that to his game. I think Paul George kind of done the same thing with the leg break. He was good at shooting, but he became a lot more consistent from the 3-point line. Once he came back from injury. So you can kind of find a system for him. He would never be the first option.
Not for that money though, that's crazy.
Yeah, but that's the problem. He's got first option kind of money on his contract.
I can see someone like the Warriors.
I like Zach LaVine.
But like, the Warriors don't have nothing to give up.
This is it. And then the second part of that was, which top eight team from each conference's position looks the most unsustainable?
Say that again.
So which playoff team from each, which playoff ranked team at the moment from each conference run looks the most unsustainable? Which one?
I feel like when you look at the Western Conference, the top,
Orlando.
When you look at the Western Conference, the top 10 for me are all like locks for their positions. The only one I think might fall out is Houston.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Houston has been good this season. Like, obviously, the only team that could come in would be Golden State.
Golden State. Mm.
So
you don't think Memphis can pull out of the mud, or Steve Adams being out? Obviously, when
Snap, but they just don't have the bigs, bro. Like Jar will like pave over some cracks, but they're just not a good team, bro.
If I go for the question, I'm gonna speak on.
And they already. 10 games under 500, bro.
Because I agree with you for what you said for Western Conference. I would go for that. But then for the Eastern Conference, which is usually my conference that I pay attention to, if I go for the top eight, who can lose their position? Brooklyn Nets. Easy. Cavaliers are ninth, so.
The Brooklyn Nets have surprisingly been, like,
they've cooked some games.
They've
Orlando
been good.
Shot me though. I'm not paying much attention to Orlando.
Oh, like, Orlando, bro, fans.
If you look at their roster, it wouldn't be shocking. Like, they've been stupid. This has been like, do you know?
Been bubbling for a while.
It's been bubbling for a while. And listen, Jalen Suggs, right, has changed their life, because obviously in his first two seasons he was looking kind of like busty.
Mm-hmm.
That shows how much like one player like just having an upturn in form could change.
And I think they found out a really good rotation for Cole Anthony as well.
He's a flamethrower off the bench.
25
points. Yeah, bro. Like,
besides the egregious thing he done of, was it the dunk contest in Tim's?
In the Tim's.
Jalen Suggs might be the best defensive point guard right now. Like, in the, like, you're in the, he's kind of like a Drew Holiday type.
Can I not still say Pat Bev a little bit?
Like, what? Come on, let's not take, come on.
Oh, you got to go there talking don't take about
the,
that.
It's Pat, don't take the piss, bro. Pat Bev, come on, man. Of defensive point guards, I'd have Jalen Suggs ahead of him.
Players wants a Pat Bev on their team.
All right, buddy.
I mean, it's what you spoke of with the Grayson Allen. Pat Bev is like, when Pat Bev is on the Timberwolves,
when he's active,
he was a lead by example type of energy guy, hustle guy. And like, sometimes when you're a young team and like your energy levels could drop and your effort levels could drop,
to keep
Pat Bev will keep you up. Like, you know what I mean? So he's not wrong in that, but bro, he's just,
we're talking real basketball.
We're talking about real lockdown defenders. Yeah, like Jalen Suggs is 6'5" American football quarterback.
How tall is Pat Beverly? Like 6'3"?
He's 6 foot.
Oh.
Nah,
he's about 6 foot.
Nah, he's taller than that.
He's 6'1" at the most.
I'm gonna go with 6'2".
He's like similar height to Steph.
6'2" in a pair of deals.
Steph is a real 6'3". He's 6 foot.
Steph's a real 6'3".
Yeah, him and like Steph and Russell Westbrook's at the same height.
Oh yeah, true, fair.
Yeah, they're real genuine 6'3".
Damn, he's taller than me.
Yeah, so bro, like, nah, bro. Jalen Suggs, Drew Holiday.
All right.
Derek White, all of those guys are real lockdown.
We've got
Alex Caruso, like
real lockdown players.
Yeah, Pat Bev can't defend like them, man.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And he had a bit of a nastiness streak in him as well, but now he just has the nasty.
Yeah.
But now we've got Allen Houston, 90. Two questions. So, trade season starts next week. Thoughts on who needs to make a move and who is getting moved?
Still
some names in the air for that one, because
I think the Celtics have been talking a lot about getting a guy off the bench.
Another
guy off the bench.
I don't mind Lowry being Utah. He's been injured a little bit this season as well, so I can't complain about that. I think a team that could actually do with a trade, probably Atlanta Hawks.
I think they ship.
This Atlanta Hawks roster just ain't gonna get it done, man.
Exactly. So you need a trade.
I don't know what can they. Who can they trade?
They were looking at trades for Trey.
Yeah,
they're gonna get back.
It's crazy. Again, you can get, for me, if I'm Atlanta, I would get great pieces rather than a superstar.
The issue right now is most teams really have a good point guard, and the teams that don't have like a superstar point guard like they don't
have a great defensive point
guard. Yeah, the point guard they have kind of fits what they like Timberwolves, for example.
Yeah,
Mike Conley isn't a superstar, but like he makes his team better because he knows how to run an offense. He knows
they
how
they thought pairing up Trae Young with my man from San Antonio.
I never thought that would be a good fit.
I thought it would be a good fit. One could,
no, with DeJounte Murray.
I thought it would be fine because one can defend and also play a bit.
Trae Young would be good in San Antonio.
Yeah.
San Antonio need a point guard.
San Antonio need everything.
Yeah, so maybe if San Antonio want to package up Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, and 3 first-round picks for Trae Young, that could work out.
But then how long's? But they're still going to be a bad team.
I don't know. Trae Young on your team alone.
If you could get some picks,
Trae Young on your team alone guarantees you around a 500 record. Let alone you got Wembanyama as well. And then Sohan could go back to playing in his actual position,
rather than pretending to be whatever he's doing.
Yeah, you could build a team. You could build a team around Trae Sohan.
And I like Sohan. I think he's got a good future in the
only
league,
UK
right now.
He's got so I have to like him.
His position in the team that isn't suiting his skill set. Then the second part are early all-star picks for the East and West. We'll check like quick 3 each, rather than like running through rosters.
Let's do it this way. Let's do guards for East. How many guards is it going to be? 4. Tyrese Halliburton.
Yep. Jalen Brunson.
Tyrese Maxey.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yep. You count him as guard? Are they going to put him as a guard?
Yeah, they're going to put him as a guard.
Guard, go on.
Jalen Brown.
Jalen Brown will make it.
It'll probably be Jalen Brown.
Dame.
Shit. Yeah. Fuck.
I said Jalen Brunson,
but yep. There's 4 guards.
So we're not saying Trae Young?
No chance. In 10th.
So what are you saying? Tyrese Halliburton, Tyrese Maxey, Jalen Brown, and Donovan Mitchell.
Again, so for all-star voting, and hear me out, it's a popularity contest a little bit as well. And I don't know if Tyrese Maxey's going to get that.
Oh, he's going to get it. I don't know if he's going to get that.
The coach will pick him.
He's going to get it.
But for starting, Halliburton starting.
So, okay, let's do the starters then. So 2 guards.
Halliburton and...
Probably Mitchell.
Halliburton, Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it should be.
Tatum...
Embiid
and Giannis.
Yeah.
Like Paolo can get a shout off the bench.
So from the Magic, you got Paolo and Franz Wagner. I don't know which one. I don't take Paolo
because of it's a popularity.
They might take Paolo on a popularity thing.
The market
Middleton.
Nah. Middleton making it. Jimmy Butler.
Of course. They'll probably bring Bam.
Bam.
They'll bring Bam.
Bam and Jimmy will make it. So that's 2. Jaylen Brown will probably make it. Porzingis?
I think Siakam would take it before Porzingis.
I don't know if Siakam would make it.
Before Porzingis, he would.
Jalen Brunson. We got Jalen Brunson. DeRozan's not making it.
He's not making it. I'm just even calling out names now.
Miles Turner could maybe. Oh, Julius Randle might make it.
Julius Randle.
Bro, he
Evan Mobley.
Julius Randle will make it before Evan Mobley.
I would have said LaMelo if he didn't go out injured because he started well.
Yeah.
But no. And then the West.
The West is peak because at the guard position, there's like 9.
Let's start. So Anthony
Steph Curry. Ant's not even guaranteed to make it.
For me, if it's
Steph,
the stars of like.
Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
De'Aaron Fox.
That's 4 already.
Jamal Murray's not making it.
He's not playing enough games.
So forget Murray.
Then it'll be Ant.
What are we counting PG as?
He'll be a forward.
He's always a forward.
Devin Booker.
That's 7 already.
And if for the potential of it, he's not going to because he won't play enough games. But Ja Morant could have been in that.
Yeah, Ja Morant. Yeah, so making an All Star game as a
Steph,
guard.
Steph, Luka, Ant, De'Aaron,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Yeah.
So that's 6.
For me personally, it should be SGA and Ant.
I feel like Ant has been better than Steph this season, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He has, but then again, votes.
SGA and Ant, mate. I'm rocking with SGA. SGA and LeBron.
Jokic.
And we have 1 more forward spot. Are we giving KD. It to Kawhi or AD?
KD.
KD, fucking hell, I forgot about KD.
I never forgot.
KD might be the MVP this season.
The future MVP.
Yeah.
Bro.
I never forget KD.
Hey, that West All-Star. Shai and LeBron, KD and Jokic is nuts.
And it could still lose.
And even if you take out Ant and put Steph in there, Shai, Steph, or actually, Luka will start. It'll be Shai and Luka.
Okay, yeah.
Shai, Luka, LeBron, KD and Jokic.
And Steph will make it, obviously.
And then Steph and De'Aaron.
Yeah.
Booker.
There's spots for these men to play.
There might be a lot of guards.
There's going to be a lot of guards.
Yeah.
But there's spots for these men to
so
play.
So Jokic will make it as a big
AD. I don't think anyone will be snubbed, really.
Jokic will make it as a big. AD will make it as a big.
Yeah.
Other than that, the only options are Sabonis and Kat. Kat and Gobert. So that's five guys at the big spot. Not all five of them aren't going to make it. Shet Holmgren has a shout.
I think the young G's.
I don't think the guards will make it. Making it as a rookie is a bit like that. Don't really happen anymore, innit? So
he's
yeah,
not doing anything. He's playing well. He's not playing magical ball, like.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess like, bro,
I think all
like,
the guards will make it. All the ones we made will make it.
Some one of them. So, and De'Aaron Booker, one of them will miss out.
I'm gonna go.
It could be De'Aaron.
De'Aaron or Booker.
Just because of like Ant is a and Booker are like bigger names, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Even though De'Aaron's having like an amazing season.
People don't really respect Booker, so it depends.
And he's missed a lot. He's missed a lot of time through injury as well.
Yeah. But yeah, I like the way I think the West there is where the most.
Yeah, the West is stacked because I don't know, like, ooh, who else? Who are we missing anyone out?
I don't think so. Obviously KD's one of the bigs. And then a few more questions. So
Kyrie's not gonna make it.
No, he's injured.
I don't think Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson.
No.
Neither of them.
Where is the All-Star game held this year?
I don't know, you know.
Check, because if there's a good restaurant, Zion might go.
Oh, God. The chef can't wait.
I was genuinely looking like, oh, yeah, where's the All-Star game?
Apparently, like, Zion spends most of his time following around Keith Lee.
So funny.
It's actually peak.
So this year.
Wasn't my joke, by the way.
The NBA All-Star game is in. That's 2024. Is it in Indiana?
Nah.
Indiana? It's going to be fucking Freddie Gibbs there.
Like, I ain't not trying to go in.
Freddie Gibbs halftime show.
And then we got a couple more questions across Morpheus Z and Carceno_, but we'll start Carceno_. So the first one, if the Mavs don't make the playoffs, is Luka considered once and out?
Potentially. I think six, seven years, you're allowed to stay like, all right, cool. Maybe I should look elsewhere, but he's young.
But does he want out, would you say?
Who?
Luka, if they don't make the playoffs?
Nah, I feel like they've started to really start building a roster around him. Derek Lively's a rookie, so
fair.
They got away. He's gonna get even better.
Mm-hmm.
You get me? If they could somehow, like, obviously they signed this Olivier Maxence Prosper, this Canadian guy. They got high hopes for him. Right. They really just need one elite wing. They got two All-Star level guards. They got a good young center. Bro, two elite guards and a good center is like enough. Let's be real. That's a championship call. Let's be real.
That's a conference.
If you can have an elite guard, an elite wing, and an elite center, that's a.
If your other elite guard can stay fit.
That's the combo you want.
You know what I mean?
That's the 23rd.
But two elite guards and an elite center could get the job done as well. You get me? So.
We got a question which I'm going to just rub out right away. Are we putting Steph on Mount Rushmore if he gets
on it anyway
to the playoffs and beyond?
He's on it anyway.
I feel like when I'm like 40, I'm gonna be one of them old ass niggas like, yo, you man don't know about Steph Curry.
You man don't know about. I'll be there too because right now I can do this.
When Steph Curry retires, his career is gonna age like it's gonna look so good, bro.
It's gonna look amazing. But
it's
right
gonna
now,
look amazing.
He's on there.
Mount Rushmore.
He's on.
He's better than Magic Johnson all time.
Yeah,
I'm not complaining.
You better Magic Johnson all time. And Magic Johnson's on Mount Rushmore.
He's a top five player all time.
LeBron, Jordan,
mm-hmm.
Magic,
Steph.
Hey, listen, one more title. Let's get one more title. If you can get one more title,
I don't, bro.
Because your career looks good enough anyway.
Because all of the guys on Mount Rushmore, minimum are three Finals MVPs. Am I lying?
Yeah. Yes.
Jordan has six. LeBron has four. Magic has three.
Kareem and Worthy won one.
Yeah, yeah. So the minimum to make it on Mount Rushmore is three Finals MVPs.
That's okay. I don't mind that.
Challenges out there.
And if you want to do it, Steph, there's a great place in South Beach that you can go to.
Kawhi's got two. KD's got two.
On that note. One more.
Hakeem Olajuwon's got two.
It's what I'm saying. Like, you can't.
Shaq's got three.
You can't just have one.
Kobe's got two. Tim Duncan's got three.
What I will say though is, obviously, it's a difference of who's better. Who's
Larry
great.
Bird's got what two? Like, come on.
Obviously, man. There's always the thing in basketball we always try and do: who's better or greater. Steph Curry's better at basketball than Magic Johnson. But obviously, legacy.
All right. Let's pump the brakes a second here, right? Let's pump the brakes a second here, right?
This is the first time I've said this. Because I didn't believe it for so long.
What I will say in defense of Magic Johnson,
please,
is he had to retire in the middle of his prime.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to take that into consideration.
Yes.
He won 5 championships before he had to retire in the middle of his prime.
I will also say this. He got drafted to the Showtime, basically.
Yeah. He got drafted to a team of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then 2 years later, they drafted James Worthy. Like, let's not.
While I get that,
there are three number one picks on their team.
Listen, I've just said this.
One impossible shot to stop.
I've just said this on Wax for the first time ever, so this is a lot for me anyway. But I'm starting to think and be fair, because when you just said when I'm older, thinking back about Steph's career, I'm thinking like, yeah, bro.
This is how I weigh it up here, because I had Magic ahead of Steph for a long time, because I respect Magic's ability to make every single person he played with the best version of themselves.
Mm,
and like, there's how many players in the history of basketball can you say done that? On top of being able to damn near average a triple double, 29 and 8 within himself, being able to lead a team as a young player. 6-8
point guard with
so like, you have to weigh it like. As a playmaker, Magic is the best we've ever seen.
Probably.
Or if not in that conversation.
Maybe number two.
So let's say Mount Rushmore of playmakers.
Of course.
And Steph, I would say, isn't a Mount Rushmore of scorers.
Yeah.
And shooters.
Well, he's in the Mount Rushmore because of his shooting.
I can't lie, his float is great.
He's a scorer and he's an amazing scorer in every regard, but yes, he could shoot the ball in a way no one else could do.
Actually, no, I won't put him in there for scoring. I'll put him in there for shooting.
Nah, I put him in there for scoring as well.
I don't know if
I'm on my life, I put him in there
for
scoring.
I don't think I put him
in. Steph's best offensive season match up against anyone's best offensive seasons in terms of efficiency, in terms of everything. You know what I mean? So
might be better scores than Steph.
Like, name me 5.
James Harden, what?
One of them. No, I don't know. Fuck off. No, he's not.
I can name you 5 better scores than Steph right now.
Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant,
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I'm not giving you Kobe and Kareem.
You're not giving me Kobe Bryant.
Steph's a better scorer than Kobe.
He's not, because the numbers show that they are better.
In what numbers?
The all-time numbers, brother.
Are you talking about like counting stats? Like they've scored more points than him.
My thing is this.
Has Kobe ever shot over 45% from the field in his career? Ever? Not once. Steph shot 50s, a 6-for-3 guard.
No, my thing is this.
Steph's true shooting is up there with guys that are 7 foot tall.
I hear it, but my thing with the scoring, and I can't lie, Jokic might be in there and Embiid might be in there. That's better scores than him.
I think Jokic
is in there for the best offensive player ever.
No, but my thing with the scoring is like, how many spots do I know that you're dangerous for? And I think Kobe can get to his spot no matter where he is. That's my thing. There's times where Kobe would face adversary and say, I still got this.
Kobe shot 46%.
Steph sometimes, Steph in his best offensive season can do that, but there's times where, like Kobe.
Steph shoots better than that for his career from the field.
Of course.
Of course he does.
But Kobe broke his right hand and said, cool, I've been practicing with my left anyway. And then still went to the corner and fadeaway bucket for a buzzer beater.
Hey, man.
I can't call a person.
Yeah, all right.
Scoring more points on a way higher volume doesn't make you a better scorer.
I don't think he's a better scorer because of that, though.
Because then you could put Russell Westbrook as a scorer ahead of Bear Man in his prime.
Of course, I'm not. But you know I'm not doing that. So that's why I'm not doing that.
You wouldn't put. When Russ was scoring 32 a game on like 45% shooting, which is sick, you wouldn't say he's the best scorer than Steph.
No.
You get me? So I don't see
that volume is a skill thing.
I don't see the argument for.
I'm grading the buckets you're getting.
I don't see the argument for Kobe above Steph.
So it's not volume, it's how you're scoring.
It's how dangerous, like you said, how dangerous you are from everywhere on the court, mm-hmm. and how efficient you could be from all of those areas on the court. There's no area on the court Steph isn't efficient from.
Okay, but.
So he's a danger everywhere.
But there's no area on the court that Kobe's not dangerous from. But there's areas where you might
Kobe.
You wouldn't take Steph in the post.
It's harder to stop Kobe than to stop Steph because he's 6'6".
You wouldn't take Kobe. You wouldn't take Steph in the post.
Yes, Steph is better in the post, but Kobe's better in the post. But Steph is better 3-point shooter.
Yeah, cool. But
he's a better finisher.
No, but Kobe's still dangerous from 3-point shooting, and Kobe's still dangerous at finishing.
He's a better finisher because of volume.
But Steph is amazing in the mid range as well.
No, in the mid range.
He doesn't have to be. Post up isn't the only way you can get your mid range game.
Every scenario of the mid range, he's not.
And he's a much bigger danger when he doesn't have the ball in his hands as well.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. I'll give you that. But I'm saying, like, I think that Kobe has more scoring options, and they're great scoring options. For
It's easier to stop somebody without being reductive. It's easier to stop someone who's 6'3" than someone who's 6'6" who can score in a lot of ways as well. The same with someone being 7 foot. Like Steph is amazing without the ball in his hand, amazing with the ball in his hand. And the reason you say he's better than Kobe on the rim is down to
the only thing I'd give you is Steph's main way of scoring is more difficult than, like, say, Kobe's. Because Kobe's good in them. Actually, well, I don't know, because Kobe's a mid-range shooter, bro. Like,
that's for a hoop ball, bro.
Yeah, Kobe's a mid-range scorer, and Steph is.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, yeah, no. If we had a bit more time, we could. Yeah. Maybe there's a topic for next week.
Let's finish off these questions. I got one from Morpheus Z.
Yeah, he's got the last couple. And
who is the most cooked sports franchise at the moment?
Oh, God.
Is it A, the Chicago Bulls? B, Manchester United? C, Chelsea Football Club? Or D, Golden State Warriors?
Okay, so we could take out the Chicago Bulls because they've never been good in their entire history other than them years they had Michael Jordan. So
exactly. So they're not actually relevant. What they did to Michael,
and maybe and Golden State has never been good in their entire history other than these years they've had Steph. So let's look at Man Red and West London Blue.
West London Blue.
I think because Man Red are one of the old money status quo clubs,
they can't be more cooked.
Yeah, they might be more cooked than Chelsea. Chelsea's a new money, a nuevo riche kind of club. You know what I mean?
Beacon.
So yeah, bro. I don't know. I think. Okay, I think right now,
Man Red,
in my opinion, it will be easier for Chelsea to turn it around than United.
100%.
Because they have more to work with in terms of talent, in my opinion.
So me, as a biased United fan, I'm going with Chicago Bulls.
Bro, when has the Chicago Bulls never not been cooked?
In 16-17, this is why you're cooked. In 16-17, you tried to put D-Wade, Jimmy Butler, and Doug, and Destiny Valentine, or whatever.
Destiny Valentine?
as a damn team, and try to talk to me about playoffs. Man.
D-Wade, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo.
Rajon Rondo.
You see that shot Denzel Valentine took? That kicked him out of the league for life.
I've not seen Denzel Valentine since he was getting cooked in the Drew League. Have you seen him since?
I swear, like, Barajal was in that team aside as well, bro. They were cooked, man. They've been cooked for years, and you've been.
They almost first rounded the Celtics, though. Rondo didn't go down.
Yeah,
they could have first rounded them.
Golden State are on their way.
Golden State, your Linsanity run is done. Your reign of terror is over.
Are over.
Go back to being shit like you've been.
NBA fans, go watch NHL or something, because we're done with you.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I can't wait. You go find your new light skin somewhere else. But with that, of course, that's another episode of Courtside Frackers, people. Appreciate the listens. Of course, I'd be remiss to not plug the social guide I didn't do at the start. At Courtside Frackers on Instagram, at Courtside Frackers on Twitter, at Courtside_Frackers on TikTok. Yes, stay posted. We are here sending your listeners questions, sending your thoughts. Keep engaging. We will be there. And yeah, peace.
Love.
Love. Sports Social Podcast Network.